Welcome to The Foundry, the show where we highlight the stories of student founders at UW-Madison, local entrepreneurs across the Midwest, and campus leaders shaping UW into a hub for entrepreneurship. Each week, we bring you stories and insights from entrepreneurs, innovators, and leaders forging their own path in UW-Madison's entrepreneurship community and beyond. Whether you're building your first venture or just looking for inspo, this podcast is here to help you learn and take action. Hi, my name is Sua Obzer, and I'll be your host today. I'm thrilled to be joined by Trinity Crone, a junior at UW-Madison studying computer science and data science. From CS Nest to AI at UW to serving as a professional development officer for the Society of Women Engineers, Trinity is deeply involved within tech and entrepreneurship at UW. And she even founded her own student organization this year, Women in Entrepreneurship, where she now serves as president. On top of that, she and her co-founder built Campus Connect, a one-stop app for campus events that's already live on the App Store. Trinity, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. So, as I said before, you're very involved with entrepreneurship on campus. You started two businesses during college, is that right? Correct. Okay, awesome. But your first foray into entrepreneurship didn't start in college. You actually ran a slime business during high school?
Yes, when I was about 14 years old, I started my own slime business on Etsy. Just kind of hopped on the trend with everyone else, just thinking it would be some silly little shop. But it actually ended up being pretty successful. And it was the first thing that really like sparked my entrepreneurial mindset and spirit. And ever since then, I haven't been able to like shake the entrepreneurship mindset. So it was a great experience.
Okay, that's awesome. Are there any like lessons that you've carried forward from it to your college ventures?
Yeah, I would say just like learning how to do everything from scratch and knowing nothing teaches you so much. And like I learned everything from customer service to what happens when a package is lost or when a customer doesn't like your product. I had to deal with a lot of reviews like that. And also, I hired my first employee, which was my dad, and so we were working a lot, and I wish I would have paid him more because he really put in the work, but yeah, so I learned, like, every stage of kind of entrepreneurship as a whole, and it, like I said, it jump-started kind of my entrepreneurship interest.
Okay, I love that. I also love that you hired your dad. That's very unique.
Yes, it was a good hire. I would hire him again.
So after your slime business, you also had a clothing business. Is it Asteria Clothing? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Asteria. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Asteria. Tell me a little bit more about that. And I guess maybe like the differences between running a clothing business and a slime business.
Yeah, this one was also a big learning experience because I went through a platform called Shopify. And through this platform, there was a lot of, like, it was a big learning curve just because I've never done that before. But it was actually a really easy, like, front end and platform to use once you figured it out. But this was different in that it was a whole different segment of entrepreneurship. And shipping times were a lot longer, I noticed, because I guess the idea of the business wasn't too great, and I wouldn't do it again. It was drop shipping. It was all the talk during this time, so I thought I'd hop on the train. And that's kind of like where you have a third party and they give you these products to then sell to, kind of like you're acting as the middleman. And as the middleman, the shipping times were just way too long. Customers got annoyed and the quality of the clothes was not great. So I learned through that business was not for me. But again, a really great learning experience. And I'm super happy I did it because it's still, you know, taught me a great different perspective of entrepreneurship than just the crafty art side that I had before.
How did you even come up with like the idea for like drop shipping clothes? Because that's very unique.
Yeah, I kept like getting all of these things on like social media about it, and then I went down like a rabbit hole of like TikToks of people drop shipping and all these influencers saying like how to become a billionaire from drop shipping and like all this super misleading stuff. And then I listened to like podcasts about it. I went like super deep in it, so I kept getting like all these things that were like, you have to try this, like you'll be a millionaire. So I think that was a good learning experience for me too, because everything online is not what it may seem, and a lot of people are trying to sell their course, like their drop shipping course or something, so they might like really mislead you into something that's not great. And I wasn't like too passionate about it either. So, those are two like big learning things I learned from it too.
Okay, I think it's interesting that you said online people have, varying information and it's not always accurate. But do you think there's some value in stuff that people say online? And is there any way to differentiate what's valuable advice in terms of business versus what's just all talk and just hype marketing?
Yeah, I do think there is a lot of value online, and I think there's a lot of value that you can get for free even. There's so much like knowledge that can be learned from Spotify and YouTube and even TikTok if you're really selective about it. But I think TikTok, like with the algorithm, sometimes it just like feeds you more of your niche, and that isn't always accurate information. So really be careful on TikTok, I would say. But something I get a lot of knowledge from is like podcasts on Spotify. I listen to a lot of podcasts and tailor it to like my niche, and I can tell when that's more informational than biased because I find it more factual. And then also YouTube, there's so much on there, so many free things. So I think that if you are gonna pay for a course, you have to have a really like big meaning behind it. And I do think there is some value in that. But I would really like research and make sure that it's not just like a scam, or because I do think there is some paid courses that are really worth it. But I've never done one, so I can't speak to that too much.
Okay, you said podcast. Do you have one in particular that is your favorite?
Yeah, I listened to the Mel Robbins podcast a lot. That like really changed my mindset, honestly. Last year, I started listening to that every time I like walked to class, or I had like some free time in between classes. And I think there's so much value in that podcast, specifically for mindset and like kind of like creating habits and just things to really like jumpstart your career or change your mindset. And then I also really have been getting into like different AI podcasts to kind of stay up on the trends, because it's really hard to stay up on that. And one of the ones I listen to is called the AI Daily Brief. It's like a really quick snapshot of all the things going on in AI, because it can be so overwhelming. And that kind of sparked my interest in creating a TikTok account that's solely based on tech and AI to kind of hold myself accountable. So I've been posting like videos about different things going on in AI and tech world, or different prompts to use, stuff like that, to keep myself more updated and hold myself accountable, to really not fall behind on this AI train.
Okay, that's awesome. I didn't even know you were doing that. What's the at? What's the
It's called
username?
trend.talks.tech.
Awesome. Okay, I will link that in the description.
Great.
So then your third business, Campus Connect, it really solves a real student problem. There's always a lot happening on campus. It's super easy to miss events. So tell me a little bit more about that, from getting the idea to pitching it to launching it on the App Store, from A to C, everything you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So originally, it stemmed from a problem I had, which was being involved in so much, but also like missing out on events that I wouldn't even hear about. And I would be like, I didn't never heard about this event, and I really would have liked to have gone to it. So I kind of was thinking, like, is there a platform on campus that shows me all of these events? I can tailor like my interests, and it'll give me like alerts kind of when there's an event I shouldn't miss out on. And I couldn't find anything that like really captured that. Obviously, like there's the basic like UW, I don't even know what it's called, like the UW org site or something. But that doesn't even encapsulate like all of the events. Like that's just orgs. There's so many other events that like come to, like through SuccessWorks, or maybe there's like an athletic event I wanted to go to. So that's kind of where that stemmed from. And then I actually pitched the idea to Grant Watkins, who's the CSNS director, and joined that club. And we were able to pitch that to everyone in the club. And then once I pitched that, an individual, my co-founder now, came up to me and said she was really interested in the idea and she really like supported it and liked the vision. So that's where that started. That was really cool. I was like, wow, that was great that someone just came up to me and must have believed my vision too. So then we started building the app and she was more of the back end. I was more of like the front end and the customer interviews and stuff like that. So we conducted a lot of customer interviews in order to understand what customers exactly wanted, because I didn't know if this was just a problem of mine. I wanted to make sure like it was validated with other people's problems and needs. And so through that, we created an MVP and we had some people test it. We had beta test. And once we did that, we pitched at the Badger Launchpad and actually took first place, and received a prize for that. So that also like kind of kept validating our vision. And then we eventually, with that money, took it and launched it on the App Store, and, it's been up there since. And since then we've pitched at the DePaul, University Pitch Madness, I think it's called. And that was in Chicago. That was really fun. Got a lot of good feedback from that as well, and more experience. And now my co-founder is actually graduated and she now goes to Carnegie Mellon for grad school. And so it's been a little tricky, like with the communication and everything. But we really do hope to adopt it there next. So it can kind of, we have an unfair advantage there now as well. We'll see with our bandwidth this semester. Both of us are very busy and starting a new club is also like starting a business in itself. So we do hope to continue it. And we've also been seeing some competition, which has been a good learning experience, because we keep hearing this like one name of this competition and we're like, ours is different, but we get that like it seems similar. So I think that's been a good learning experience of like just keep pushing and know that yours is like, believe in your product, basically.
And congratulations on like launching your app on the App Store. Like, that's literally crazy. You're literally a college student. But I want to dive deeper into, I guess, like two or three things that you mentioned.
Yeah.
First was customer discovery interviews. I feel like a lot of college students don't know that that's something that real entrepreneurs do. So do you want to tell me a little bit more about how you go about that process?
Yeah, I actually didn't know that either. I learned that through CSNest. That was a big thing Grant kind of harped on. Like, just because you have a problem and just because you think it's the best idea in the world, you do not know if other people have this problem and in what way they want to fix it. So I think customer interviews is arguably the number one, like the most important thing when creating a business, because if you have a product and your customers don't need it, then nobody's going to buy it. So you have to be sure that you're not asking leading questions, because you don't want to create bias. So you have to make sure that your questions are genuinely coming from a problem they have and not being like, oh, would you like this app? Like, you have to actually get down to the problem and not just like ask them leading questions. That was a big thing I had to learn. And then also like, if they say something negative, not to take it personally, because I definitely did. And you can't force a problem on someone. So if it's not something that they have a problem with, maybe they're not your target market, or maybe you need to change your vision a little bit, and that's okay. And yes, so I would say customer interviews are arguably the most important thing when starting a business.
Okay, I love that you said don't take negative things personally and that they're just not your target market. I think that's very like important to keep in mind. Also, how did you get beta testers? I'm curious.
Yeah, so we actually had the director of CDIS send out like an email about our app. And then we offered like some sort of prize. So like with the money we got from Badger Launchpad, like a $5 gift card if you like filled out our form. And so this generated a good amount of people. And that we found that was good, because a lot of students aren't just going to beta test for something. They're busy. They're just as busy as you. They don't want to just fill out a random thing and test your app. So we figured that giving them some sort of incentive would really help, which did. If when you are conducting customer interviews, don't just like go to your friends and your family, because I tried that and it's not good, because they're obviously going to want to side with you, and you can't be sure that like their opinion isn't biased, and you want to be sure that like every person you're talking to is not biased. So that was a big tip that I got, and I'll take forward with me in my career.
Crap, that's very important. I agree. If I ever tell my parents like a business idea, they're like, "Yeah, that's so
I know.
good."
Oh my gosh, me too. All the time.
So, separate from Campus Connect now. So you've been active in Society of Open Engineers, CS&S, like we talked about, AI at UW, and then this year you started Women in Entrepreneurship. So was there a particular moment or catalyst for you to start this club?
Yeah, so I was a part of CS Nest and a couple other entrepreneurship clubs I explored as well in the start of my sophomore year, I believe, or maybe it was the spring. But I went to these clubs and I noticed that I was like the only girl there. And I honestly did not expect this because I'm from a tech background, so like I'm pretty used to it. But I noticed that like it was sometimes worse than CS in tech. And it was just kind of like sad almost, because I love entrepreneurship and I want more women to like know about it and start thinking about it, but there was just like none there. So I was like, okay, I'll just join like Women in Entrepreneurship because I'm sure there's one here. And then I realized that there wasn't, and I was like, wow, that's crazy. So, and even my male friends started coming up to me and saying like, you need to do something about this. Like, we want more women here. And we can't get them. So, and I also think it's a thing of like, if you go to something where you're the only woman, like you don't see anyone like you, it's not very encouraging. And I think it's important to be surrounded with communities that you feel welcome in. And sometimes those communities don't always feel like that. So, I decided to start my own club, which was quite the journey and still is. But it's been the most rewarding thing of my college experience, and I'm so grateful that I did it. So, starting that has been amazing, and I think it's already starting to solve these problems, and we have barely even launched yet. Our kickoff event is on the 18th, so we already have like 350 people on our mailing list, and we're really excited about all the excitement. And I noticed that when I created this club, a lot of faculty started reaching out, a lot of students started reaching out, so it really solidified the need for this on campus, and that was with like no outreach. So this gender gap was like prominent before, but I don't think anybody really did anything about it yet. So I'm really happy that I could provide that for women in this space.
You did a really good job taking initiative because clearly, like you said, this problem has been existing. I've heard from multiple girls that they go to an entrepreneurship event and then they never go again because it just seems like a boys' club. So good job for taking initiative. So you've been in tech, you had a tech background before, and you said it's not male dominated, is what you felt?
I was like, I'm saying I'm used to it. Like used to being in a field that is male dominated. So I was surprised that on like I felt like that in entrepreneurship because I'm so used to it, but I felt an even more gap. If that
Okay. Yes, that does. Okay, so that sounds like you feel pretty comfortable like navigating male-dominated spaces. So, do you have any advice for other young women who want to succeed while they're like navigating, male-dominated spaces like tech and entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I would say for me, like, I didn't really have a choice because kind of the fields I chose were so male dominated. So I really learned to speak up a lot in these situations. And I think my biggest tip would be finding communities where you feel welcome in. So, for example, in entrepreneurship, I didn't have a community, so I created one. But in tech, I did have a community that I could join, like Society of Women Engineers. There's a lot of great ones: Women in Business Tech, Women in Tech, Women in STEM, Women in Computing. I've done all those. And I really think that that's a huge part of my college experience because you can meet like-minded peers. You start to see these people in your classes. You kind of form a community. And it can be really intimidating in classes when you don't know anyone. And having these like study buddies or study groups that are also women really helped me a lot because they kind of understand what you're going through. You can really talk to them about your problems and everything, and they probably experienced something similar. So it creates a great sense for that. And then I would also say just like putting yourself in these uncomfortable positions as much as you can, because it truly does become easier. And like for me, the more I do that, the more like I'm like, okay, I can go into this like group of all guys and speak my mind and, you know, feel comfortable because I've done it enough. And there's some really great opportunities when you do that as well. Like I've had so many great opportunities on this campus, but a lot of that reason is because I put myself in those uncomfortable positions and went out of my comfort zone. And once you start doing this, like, it becomes easier and easier. You get more opportunities. You meet great people. Like, I've met so many great people this year already. So, yes, I definitely think doing these things that make you uncomfortable, speaking up in situations where you think, maybe I'm not supposed to speak up, I'm the only woman in the room, I should be agreeable, like, a people pleaser. Like, I feel like we kind of grew up that way. And especially in entrepreneurship, you can't really do that. Like, you're going to be competing against people that are super out there and will say whatever they think. So you kind of have to keep up with that spirit. And I think, yeah, putting yourself in these uncomfortable positions. And then also like finding mentors and allies in internships and school is really helpful as well.
Are there any specific things that you've done that you really think have propelled your growth, especially in terms of putting yourself in an uncomfortable position?
Yeah, I would say like a lot of events that I see like on my email or sent to me, I used to just kind of be like, oh, like, okay, well, I probably won't miss much. But now like I've been kind of having the mindset of like, if I don't go, what am I missing? Like I almost get like FOMO of not going to these events. And I think having that mindset allowed me to like go to a lot of these events and try to get something out of them. Because once you meet one great person at an event, you start to think like, oh my gosh, like who could I meet at this event? Or who have I been missing out on meeting? So I think even though some of these like events are scary and maybe you have to like speak up in these events or meet new people and maybe you don't know anyone there, I think it's just so rewarding once you start networking and meeting people like this.
Okay, I think that's very fitting because I was reading an article about you and you wrote that your network is your net worth and like this really matches.
My favorite quote.
So between school, internships, Campus Connect, and then your involvement on campus, and also leading with an entrepreneurship, you definitely know how to juggle a lot. Like, you have a lot on your plate. So what are some of your best time management tips for other college students who are trying to balance everything and still be successful?
So I would say, for me, I really had to learn this quick because I threw myself in a bunch right when college started. And you really do learn as you grow, but I would say, like having a calendar and time blocking is the thing that works the best for me because I can see everything that's going on that day, how much time I have for each, allocated thing. And even like blocking out some time for yourself just to work on, like for me, an example would be like working on my entrepreneurial things. Like if I have a business I want to start, maybe blocking out 2 days or 2 hours for that. Sorry. So that way I can just be like totally locked into that and not have any distractions, because being a president of a club and a founder, you get so many emails, you're always trying to keep up on everything. And I always get so distracted. So I need like to just turn myself on do not disturb for 2 hours of the day, and really work on things that I enjoy, because I think if you're so busy and you have nothing that you like really enjoy, you're not going to be motivated. So I think something for me when like the reason I can be so busy and not get like sick of it or not get burnt out is because I really enjoy all the things I do. So I would say picking things that you really enjoy helps you with your time management skills. And school always comes first, so it's something I definitely have to work on, because sometimes I get so excited about like extracurriculars or entrepreneurship that I let school fall behind. So I usually block some time off in the morning because that's when I think best, to either study or catch up on homework. And if like the nighttime you think better, then do that, but find a system that works for you. And I would say to-do list always in the morning. I always do that to plan out my day. It really does help. And just having a positive attitude about like, wow, I'm like so lucky am this busy and so grateful that I have all these opportunities. So I think a mindset is huge and really will help with your time management as well.
I love that you said just do things you're passionate about. I do think that is like probably one of the best time management hacks. Like it's very easy to be disciplined if you just love what you're doing.
Exactly. That took me a while to figure out.
No, me too. For like Campus Connect, can you like walk me through the timeline for like every, like, you know, when you got the idea to when the app launched, like all the, like, the steps?
Really great question. I'm trying to remember.
Because I know, I'm pretty sure you pitched at CS Next like this past spring, right? So it's kind of recently.
Yes. Yes, you're right. Okay. Yeah. So in the fall semester of my sophomore year, I didn't like do anything entrepreneurial related. And then for some reason in spring, I just like really had this like drive back in me. And I think it's because I started joining these clubs. And then once I started that, there was like an opportunity to pitch your idea to Grant. And once I pitched that idea and had an idea, I think that's what was stopping me before. I didn't have an idea. But once I had that idea, I pitched it to him, and then I was able to pitch it to CS Next. And once I got like the validation that someone else believed in this idea, I think that really like jump-started the app. And through CS Next, it's like, I forget how many weeks it is, but it's a weekly program where you get to like work on your startup throughout this. And I think the thing that was stopping me before doing this was I never thought I had time and I should be focusing on school. But when there's an actual club that's like holding you accountable and checking in on you, and he had office hours you could sign up for. So that was really important for me to have someone that held me accountable. And once I had that, it was like really fast because I had to have something at the end of each week to show. And then once the Badger Launchpad was coming up and the CS Next pitch competition, which we also were involved in, that is when I was like, okay, this needs to be like, we need to have an MVP at this point. So it really made me work a lot quicker. And having a partner was great too. She was great. And we together were able to get that ready for the competitions. And once we pitched that, then we continued to get opportunities for other pitch competitions, like the Chicago one. So then we had to keep building and making it better. So I really just think like having deadlines really helps me. And I'm not like a super type A person, but it kind of made me be one. So I think that was really, really helpful for me and how we were able to do it so quickly.
Yeah, I feel like it was extraordinarily quick because I'm pretty sure CS Next started in February. And then when did you launch your app?
I think it was in April, if I remember. I'm not sure. I could be wrong.
Okay, that's amazing. So from idea to like end launch, it was like 3 to 4 months.
Yes.
Okay, so that means it's like a very quick turnover and it's very possible to actually build something in a short time
period. Yes, especially with like new tech too. With like AI and everything, like people are building apps so quickly. So I think this is like the best time to ever really be an entrepreneur, in my opinion.
Did you use like a specific app, a Cursor or a Lovable or anything?
We did not, but I think we could have even like done it quicker if we used that. So
yeah. Okay, awesome. Okay, so just to wrap up, we're gonna do like a quick little lightning round. What's your favorite Madison food spot?
I would say this is like really fancy, but the Harvey House. It's like a dinner restaurant place. Yeah.
What is your go-to productivity tool or app that you can't live without?
Well, that's like such a close tie between Notion and Google Calendar, but I guess I'll say Notion.
Okay, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. And then who is like one entrepreneur, they can be famous or not famous, that inspires you the most?
I would say right now, Mel Robbins, just because I listen to her so much.
All right. And what is your biggest advice for someone who's just starting out as an entrepreneur?
I would say put yourself out there as much as possible and make connections early, because you never know who's going to invest in your startup later. And it's not like a great idea just to go up to a VC right away and ask them to give you money. It's better to have a connection first. So I guess that kind of brings back to my famous quote, your network is your net worth.
right. And how can students contact you and learn more about your work with Women in Entrepreneurship and Campus Connect?
Yeah, I would say either my LinkedIn or my email. So my LinkedIn is just Trinity Krohn, if you just search it up, or my email is tkrohn, K-R-O-H-N, 2@wisc.edu.
And is WE working on anything interesting?
Yeah, so we also are launching our own little podcast series, kind of like Instagram Reel, more of that kind of situation. And we also have really exciting events coming up in September. We have a lot. We have some debates. We have a female founder event on the 18th, which is our kickoff. We're doing a panel with Transcend on November 6th, I believe. And we also have PJ Pitch Nights. We're hoping to have a pitch competition in spring. So stay tuned for all of that.
Okay, awesome. Also, PJ Pitch Night, that is so cute. I'm definitely coming to that.
I'm excited.
All right, Trinity, thank you so much for joining us today. Your experiences as a woman navigating male-dominated spaces are super relatable. And I loved hearing about all your businesses from high school through college. So we'll be cheering you on with everything you do here at UW and beyond. But yeah, thank you again so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's it for today's episode of The Foundry. We hope you feel motivated to forge your path in shaping your own entrepreneurial journey. If you enjoyed this conversation, make sure to follow the podcast and share it with a friend. We'll be back soon with more stories from founders, leaders, and those driving change at UW-Madison and beyond.